Make it make sense. We have a devastatingly high unemployment rate, but we also have industries where there is a massive skills shortage. How do we marry the two with so many, in particular, young people in the country unemployed and without those skills? That's, of course, the kind of thing that the Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology is seized with figuring out. And if that wasn't enough, this week, of course, have been other issues in higher education related to student funding, the deregistration of colleges, NSFAS, and indeed that unregistered institution, the Trinity International Bible University, that keeps offering honorary degrees and certificates to celebrities and politicians. Let's invite now the minister to join us to talk about these things more in depth, Dr. Blade Nzimande, the Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology. Firstly, Minister, thank you so much for your time. On your agenda today is going to be the CETA Skills Summit. Tell me about the importance of that.
Yes. Thank you very much, Bongani. Good morning to you and to the listeners of 702. The first thing that I just need to explain is that in 2020 or before 2020, CETAs were only licensed for 1 year. In other words, a CETA in the ICT sector were only licensed for 5 years, which means that after 5 years we could disestablish the CETA or merge the CETAs in order to make CETAs to be relevant to the economy and new developments. But in 2020, I decided that this thing is causing a bit of instability, inconsistency, and lack of continuity. Let me rather extend the life of the CETAs, the 21 of them, as they exist for 10 years, so that to foster continuity in programs, with a longer-term view to deepen sectoral work that the CETAs are doing. So this summit, firstly, then, is reflecting on these experiences over the last 5 years. What are the successes? What has the setbacks been? And this is the first such summit which has been convened to actually reflect on this. Now, the second main focus of this is, of course, to improve on areas of common interest and collaboration. Much as CETAs operate like there's the mining CETA, there's the manufacturing CETA, there's a public service CETA, there's an education CETA, but there are areas of common interest as well that they have to collaborate on. For instance, the first area of their common interest is to reduce the unemployed people, especially to focus on what we call the NEETs, which is those young people who are neither in employment, education, or training. So how can CETAs better coordinate their work to tackle this one very serious problem, as you say in your background? The second thing is to better align and coordinate resourcing in terms of internships and learnerships. Now, internships and learnerships for young people are important at a number of levels. It's to focus on the unemployed youth, to give them some work experience, but also is to focus on especially TVET college graduates who actually require workplace training after they do their theory. And all the CETAs have got to do this, so they better be able to coordinate and align. The other area of coordination and aligning, which we've been doing quite a lot of work over the past 15 years, is the building of what we call skill centers. Skill centers are smaller training centers in areas where there is greatest need. There are many areas with need. You know, for instance, some of them are quite big. I'll be opening one in Sekhukhune, for instance, which is going to be doing training in a lot of areas. And those skill centers become campuses of TVET colleges. The other important thing I must say...
Minister, I've just got to come in because you're giving quite a few points, but I want to get to some of the detail of this. The theme this year of the summit is Together Skilling the Nation. Are we making sufficient inroads in terms of what the mandate of these sector education and training authority organizations or associations are meant to achieve based on the numbers of unemployed young people that are not getting any lower.
Yeah. We are making a lot of progress, I must say, Bongani. The SETAs are doing a lot of good work, much as they are being criticized. Indeed, there are weaknesses. For instance, I was talking about the skill centers. They are helping us as a department to build a number of skill centers, including in rural areas. I've been launching them over the last 5 years in many areas, which is making a big difference because in some of the areas, you only have schools. There is no post-school institution, which means if young people finish, they've got nowhere to go to actually acquire a skill. Also, the SETAs have increased significantly internships and learnerships, which is very important. And our research tells us that 70% of those who do internships and learnerships, they end up getting a job. And of course, a percentage of them, they end up starting their own initiatives, especially those who are coming out of TVET colleges, having trained as electricians, plumbers, or welders. One of the biggest areas that we are going to be focusing on at this summit, which is still remains a weakness, is the relationship with employers. You can't have training or even vocational education, Bohan, without workplaces, which means a better relationship with employers. Much as there has been improvement, for instance, the president set us target of 20,000 this financial year, this last financial year. I think we've met that target, although we are still compiling the report, that we must place 20,000 unemployed TVET college graduates. The previous year, the president had said 10,000. We actually managed to place about 12,000. So those are very important because what it's beginning to do as well is to change the attitude of parents and our young people towards, amongst other things, TVET colleges, for example, which is one other common area that the SETAs will be focusing on their relationship.
One of the issues that has arisen because of the skills shortage, because of the desperation of many families and young people, are the fly-by-night colleges and institutions that are not registered, that offer courses that are unaccredited. And of course, most notably in the news at the moment is this Trinity International Bible University and the way it's been conferring supposed honorary doctorates. What's your response to that? How are these institutions operating in this way still?
You know, every year, Bongani, we go out with the police, literally, to actually go and identify bogus colleges and close them down. And we have arrested people before. We've done it. The one notorious area is Bramfontein, for instance, where there's lots of these colleges. There are other areas in other cities throughout the country, here in Pretoria and so on. And also we have a campaign to say to parents, if you are registering in a private college, please come to our website and check if that college is registered. Now we've got this new phenomenon of institutions like this International Bible University that is not registered. Firstly, we have no private universities in South Africa, Bongani. Our universities are only public, the 26 ones. The private ones, we call them higher education institutions. They don't qualify to register as universities in our country. Even if it can be an university like Oxford or Cambridge or New York University and so on, they have to register, and we call them private higher education institutions. Now, this college, unfortunately, is bogus. And we are engaging now, I'm pleased to say, with some of the celebrities who have been given this. Silo Kamato, we're going to be engaging with him to say, help us, that your names as celebrities are not used to actually legitimize bogus institutions.
It may be a silly thing in the context of so many more important things we need to discuss, Minister, but isn't part of the attraction with this this idea of what an honorary doctorate gives or doesn't give you? Correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is only the institution that confers such an honor may refer to its recipient as doctor. To no one else and nowhere else may that recipient insist on being referred to as such. And maybe if people knew things like this, they wouldn't be so easily duped as Zwelinzima Vavi says he was.
Yes, I'm glad Mavi is admitting to this because I wasn't aware. I only saw that yesterday, that in 2018 it was. Look, I've asked the Council for Higher Education, which advises me on higher education matters, just to come up with a very clear explanation to the country about honorary doctorates, for instance. Who is qualified to give honorary doctorates? You can't give an honorary doctorate unless you are a properly registered institution. Which university can, University of Limpopo can, for instance, and it's up to them who they give such honorary doctorates, because those are normally used to recognize the contribution that people have made in various parts of society, whether it's artists, whether it's educationalists, many people, you know, and we don't have a say as government, the universities do that. Usually, historically, is that when you're given an honorary doctorate, you're actually not allowed to call yourself a doctor. That has been the practice, but the CHE will explain this. Although you are allowed to put after your name PhD, but in brackets it must show that it's an honorary PhD. It's not a PhD that has been awarded through study. And it's very important, Mohani, that we actually get these things in order, because we run a risk of our qualifications and our higher education system being discredited globally. That's one thing we have that we can afford. People will begin to doubt if South Africa is full of these bogus institutions who are actually now, they will doubt if Dr. Mohani Bingwa in future, who has done a PhD or has been given an honorary, whether actually this is genuine or not. So our concern, we are not against, by the way, celebrities. I'm engaging them now because I think they will help us if we engage them and so on, so that they themselves also, they minimize being embarrassed, you know, when it's actually not necessary. And as part then of awareness to society as a whole about why and how. Of course, it's important if you are given an honorary doctorate because you are being recognized for a contribution that you have
made. Of course.
Like Ivan Khoza, Kaiser Mdaung, there's no doubt, for example, that those two have done enormous in supporting professional soccer in South Africa, you know. But then if this thing is going to be given by the institutions like this one, they claim they are registered globally. I mean, even if you are registered globally, you have to register in South Africa. If you want to operate in South Africa and give awards in South Africa, it's a South African institution. You actually have to be registered. So I have also said to the CHE, give me urgent advice on what action now. Because we had spoken to this institution before and said, you are not allowed. Mam Kiza of Royal AM was very good, by the way. I must just commend her because she was awarded. When I raised this, she then came and said to us, would you like me to facilitate that you meet with this college so that if they want to register as a degree awarding institutions privately, what do they have to do? I am aware that she did communicate that to them, but they never came back to us. And we did say we are not allowed to do this. Now they are continuing to do this.
Well, I think strong and stern action needs to be taken against such institutions. Dr. Bladen Zimande, appreciate your time. The Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology.